Truth News Network.
Jury trials are suspended in Milwaukee County. Traveling to one's own vacation home blocked in Michigan. Solo walks on the beach and in arrest. And stores are told what they may and may not sell, even out of the same inventory. And why? Well, that's the question. And it's time for some answers. Time for the truth. TNN.
The Truth News Network.
And your master of the facts is Dan Newman.
Uh-oh. Somebody is in big trouble in Washington. Who is it? Well, we're going to dig right in. We're going to get right to it here this morning. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Truth News Network. I'm Dan Newman, and I'm awfully glad that you joined us today. It's wild and crazy up there, folks. Just when we think it's about to settle down, it gets crazier and wilder. And it really is. Somebody really is in big trouble. But before we get into today's story, let's just kind of dream a bit together. Won't it be wonderful one day when we can pick up a newspaper, go to our favorite news website, listen to our number one radio talk show, or watch nighttime TV news and just believe everything they tell us and give us in print is really true? Do you think that will ever happen? To be honest, I think before that happens, the Statue of Liberty is going to dive into the Hudson and swim up the East River to have lunch in Brooklyn at the River Cafe. And if you ever get a chance to get there, it's really good. It's right under the Brooklyn Bridge. It's really sad that our media presentation has come to this, but it has. I'm not going to talk about specific examples, who said this or that, or who wrote this, who edited this or that story to prefer someone. If I did that, you know, we'd be here all day. You'd undoubtedly tire, or you'd just turn me off. Say, maybe that's something we might want to consider ourselves, huh? Turn them off. Would your world actually end if you tried that? I've done it before personally, and every once in a while, I give serious consideration to doing it again. Yeah, I know. I'm the publisher of Truth News Network. I can't just turn off the news. How else could I bring you all this stuff that we share with you every day? But that doesn't mean I can't resent the fact that neither you nor I have any confidence at all that what we see, read, watch, or listen to is news, real news. And that is sad. Take, for example, what is burning up the news coverage yesterday and will be again all day today, the unmasking of Lieutenant General Michael Flynn by members of the Obama administration. I don't remember an instance before in which such a travesty against a private American citizen was implemented for whatever reason, and we still don't know yet what their reason for doing it was, by members of a presidential administration. Think of that. That almost sounds like Watergate, doesn't it? To say this occurrence being discovered and confirmed is one thing, but to read the details of the request for the unmasking of Flynn's name is mind-boggling. To make matters worse, the left has been frothing at the mouth all day long yesterday and again at it this morning, demanding that Americans just let it go. If I heard these two things once, I've heard them 100 times already. Their excuse for the Flynn unmasking, and it's twofold. It's almost like they're all in sync saying these two things. The unmasking of Americans' names who were conversing with foreign nationals, oh, that's commonplace. It happens all the time. That's one thing they say, but the other, and it takes the cake. Michael Flynn pled guilty to lying to federal officials. He pled guilty. As if his extorted guilty plea justifies the Flynn unmasking before the meeting even took place at which he committed the act for which he was charged. And by the way, the only reason Flynn pled guilty was they gave him a choice, they being the FBI, the Department of Justice at that time. You either plead guilty or we're going to indict your son and put him in prison. Flynn was being a dad. The insanity of the unmasking is one thing. What is even more unthinkable is who requested and received Flynn's name from the NSA. Let's take a look so you can know what we're talking about. And what we've done, folks, is we actually posted two pages, the exact pages in the report that was unreleased and that Grinnell, the director of DNI, had in his hands. We've got those posted on page one of our website. You can look at them, but we're going to go down and discuss some of the names of those that are on that list. I hope you can read them. They're kind of small, but if you're going to be on your desktop, you won't have a problem at all. First of all, U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, Samantha Power. Now think about it. She's an ambassador to the United Nations. She requested the unmasking of Flynn's identity regarding phone calls from the dates November 3rd, 2016 through January 17th of 2017. In the first place, what business does a U.S. ambassador to the United Nations have knowing to whom the incoming National Security Advisor is speaking regarding matters between the incoming president and leaders of foreign nations? She has nothing to do with those foreign nations as regards to the White House. She's not the ambassador to Britain or France or Russia or China. The answer? She had no business and no real authority to do so. Note, in each of her calls, they happened after the election when Obama was on his way out of the White House. Then there's Director for National Intelligence James Clapper. It comes as no surprise that Clapper would be desperate to know to whom Flynn was speaking and about what. After all, Flynn, like these others, was probably headed for the exit. He was pretty sure of that. His unmasking requests were also on dates between the election and the inauguration. Do you think there may have been some CYA in that? And in case you don't know what CYA means, it means cover your booty. Big John, director of the CIA, John Brennan. Mr. Brennan, he's made it no secret that he disdains this president. Of all those mentioned above, he was the likely candidate for this to me. He's been caught in committing felonies by lying under oath numerous times when acting in his official capacity. It's expected by many he will certainly be revealed as one of the targets of an indictment from the Durham criminal investigation that is reportedly wrapping up. Next is our good buddy and Mr. America, former director of the FBI, James Comey. Remember now, Flynn served as director of the ODNI under Obama when Comey was FBI director. Knowing what we know now about Comey, do you think those two may have had a run-in of some kind during their overlapping years in the Obama administration? You can pretty much bet on it. Comey, too, will probably see the inside of a courtroom with his compadre Brennan when results of the Durham investigation are final. The one big surprise, the really big surprise in all this, is former Vice President Joe Biden. Is there any reason for an explanation for Biden's request? I mean, we could sit here all night and talk about him. I have no clue what his thinking was. What in the world did he need to know about Michael Flynn's phone calls? Biden was leaving office. His phone call was to after the election was over. He was gone. He had no business asking for anybody to unmask Michael Flynn. Folks, the important things to note here are these. Notice the date of each request. Each one happened after the 2016 election, but before the Trump inauguration. None of those mentioned above had any reason to request the unmasking of Flynn, even though 16 of them were authorized to do so. Why is that? Not one of them was going to make the transition to the new administration, and they knew it. There's one other salient point. The purpose given by every liberal and interpreted by every leftist media reporter for the unmasking was because of the illegal collusion taking place by Trump's incoming National Security Advisor and Russian ambassador to the U.S., Sergei Kislyak. But do you know what's curious about all of that? The first contact Flynn had with Kislyak was not until December the 29th. Every one of these unmasking requests came days and weeks before the call ever took place. So why would there be this many people who can get personal information about American citizens? Well, former FBI Director James Comey, in testimony before the House, he explained why. It's a very important thing, he said. But listen to him. Listen to his own words, James Comey. He'll explain everything to us. You know why? Because he's James Comey.
It would be nice to know the universe of people who have the power to unmask a U.S. citizen's name, because that might provide something of a roadmap to investigate who might have actually disseminated a masked U.S. citizen's name.
Sure, the number is relevant, but what I hope the U.S., the American people will realize is the number is important, but the culture behind it is, in fact, more important. The training, the rigor, the discipline. We are obsessive about FISA and the FBI for reasons I hope make sense to this committee, but we are, everything that's FISA has to be labeled in such a way to warn people, this is FISA, we treat this in a special way. So we can get you the number, but I want to assure you the culture of the FBI and the NSA around how we treat U.S. person information is obsessive, and I mean that in a good way.
Director Comey, I am not arguing with you, and I do agree the culture is important, but if there are 100 people who have the ability to unmask and the knowledge of a previously masked name, then that's 100 different potential sources of investigation. And the smaller the number is, the easier your investigation is. So the number is relevant. I concede the culture is relevant. NSA, FBI, what other U.S. government agencies have the authority to unmask a U.S. citizen's name?
Well, I think all agencies that collect information pursuant to FISA have what are called standard minimization procedures, which are approved by the FISA court that govern how they will treat U.S. person information. So I know the NSA does, I know the CIA does, obviously the FBI does. I don't know for sure beyond that.
How about Maine Justice?
I mean, Maine Justice, I think, does have standard minimization procedures.
All right, so that's four. The NSA, FBI, CIA, Maine Justice. Does the White House have the authority to unmask a U.S. citizen's name?
I think other elements of the government that are consumers of our products can ask the collectors to unmask. The unmasking resides with those who collected the information. And so if Mike Rogers' folks collected something and they sent it to me in a report and it says U.S. person number one, and it's important for the FBI to know who that is, our request will go back to them. The White House can make similar requests of the FBI or of NSA, but they don't on their own collect, and so they can't on their own unmask. I got that about right?
No, that's correct.
Yeah. I guess what I'm getting at, Director Comey, is you say it's vital, you say it's critical, you say it's indispensable. We both know it's a threat to the reauthorization of 702 later on this fall. And, oh, by the way, it's also a felony punishable by up to 10 years. So how would you begin your investigation, assuming for the sake of argument that a U.S. citizen's name appeared in the Washington Post and the New York Times unlawfully? Where would you begin that investigation?
Well, I'm not going to talk about any particular investigation.
That's why I said in theory.
You would start by figuring out, so who are the suspects? Who touched the information that you've concluded ended up unlawfully in the newspaper? And start with that universe, and then use investigative tools and techniques to see if you can eliminate people or include people as more serious suspects.
Do you know whether Director Clapper knew the name of the U.S. citizen that appeared in the New York Times and Washington Post?
I can't say in this forum because, again, I don't want to confirm that there was classified information in the newspaper.
Would he have access to an unmasked name?
In some circumstances, sure. He was the Director of National Intelligence, but I'm not talking about the particular.
Would Director Brennan have access to an unmasked U.S. citizen's name?
In some circumstances, yes.
Would National Security Advisor Susan Rice have access to an unmasked U.S. citizen's name?
I think in general, and any other national security advisor would, I think, as a matter of their ordinary course of their business.
Would former White House advisor Ben Rhodes have access to an unmasked U.S. citizen's name?
I don't know the answer to that.
Would former Attorney General Loretta Lynch have access to an unmasked U.S. citizen's name?
In general, yes, as would any Attorney General.
So that would also include Acting AG Sally Yates?
Same answer.
Well, there you go, folks. Now you know the facts. You know the truth. It's all true and it's factual because James Comey said it was. So just how high in the Obama administration did this all go? Well, we know, based on classified documents released last week, that Mr. Obama told Acting Attorney General Sally Yates in the Oval Office that January 5th morning after the election, just weeks before the inauguration, he told her that he knew all about the stuff going on regarding Michael Flynn. She was shocked. She said that in later testimony before the House. Biden, Clapper, and Brennan were in that Oval Office meeting as well. So we know it went that high. But what was the universal concern by so many in the Obama administration to find out during the transition to the Trump administration details of conversations Flynn was having with foreign leaders? Could it be that there is or are things they do not want the American people to know about? Do they have anything to hide? Could the president have done something for which people throughout the top tier of his administration would join forces with other Obama adherents to seek out information to try and keep Lieutenant General Flynn from sharing it with the incoming president? Did you know Obama was obligated to share known details with Trump of the specifics of any wrongdoing by Flynn while he was acting in the Obama administration as director of the National Intelligence? And he didn't share anything. So how are we Americans supposed to reconcile all this? Indeed, it's not going to happen because of the demands of the leftist media, who all day Wednesday screamed at their media counterparts that everybody does it, it's okay. It was so obvious that they were desperate to assure their party's base that even though it looks terrible, absolutely nothing was wrong in this case. Do you know what the only thing that matters in hindsight is legally? Someone from that list of Americans, and when you look on the website, the front page of this story, you'll read that list and you'll ask this question. There are so many people on there, you're going to be shocked. Who the heck are these people? You don't even know most of them. The only ones who knew that Flynn was speaking to foreign government leaders, specifically Kislyak, the Russian ambassador to the United States, were those people on that list. One of them, one person at least, is the person who leaked to the Washington Post and the New York Times the entire Flynn story, concentrating, of course, on the Russia connection, his connections, and there were two of them, with Russian ambassador to the United States, Sergei Kislyak. Whoever is the guilty party committed felony acts, folks, in giving that classified information to those newspapers. Whichever one of those did the dirty deed faces up to 10 years in jail for doing so. And with all this laundry exposed to the world, I would almost be willing to bet you a steak dinner that somebody's going to go down for it. Today, Thursday, another day. Wouldn't it be nice this morning as you're listening to this, you're thinking about, when we get through here in a moment, I'm going to grab the dog, head out the front door, pick up a newspaper, come on inside to the back porch with a steaming cup of coffee, and read the news without having to ever again feel the need to question everything I read. Do you think we'll ever see that again? Boy, I sure hope so. And to whoever was the guilty person to make those two phone calls, get ready. In this situation with so many spotlights, you certainly are going to have lots of time to read the newspaper. But I don't think they pass out, you know, morning edition in the morning at prison. I think you may get yesterday's edition. While you're sitting in your cell, still thinking about a steaming cup of hot coffee, you can read it. But I doubt you're going to get that cup of hot coffee. Hey, folks, thanks so much for joining us this morning. A lot of things going on. Today's TNN Live at 9 o'clock Central Time is full of more information. A lot of testimony. You're going to hear a lot of people. It's about this. It's about other things. It's about the other side of the Flynn case that came up last night. We'll get into all that. Make sure you join us. Join us for a little while if you can't stay the whole 2 hours. 9 o'clock, 9 a.m. Central Time. The way you get there is on the top of this story. There's a blue banner that says Listen Live. 9 o'clock, click on that. It'll take you right to the show. It's a two-hour show. If you haven't listened in, we'd love to hear from you. You can call us and speak to us, ask questions, be a part of the conversation, both hours. If I can't see you then, I'll see you tomorrow, right here at Truth News Network, truthnewsnet.org. So long.
We don't tell you what to think,
but we give you truth to think about. This is TNN, the Truth News Network.
TruthNewsNet.org.